this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the breath of life, for the chance to come together, Lord, in your name. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that in all things that you are with us, Father, that you are protecting your people. Lord, that you watch over us and watch over every affair of our lives, Lord God, and you lead and guide and direct and instruct those that listen to you, Father, in the voice of your Spirit, those that will turn their ears and their hearts to you and will follow you, Lord. So this evening, Father, we ask, Lord, we stop at the road, Father, at the crossroad, and we ask for the ancient paths. We ask, Lord God, that you would lead us and instruct us by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, this day, Father, we yield to that. And, Lord, I completely get out of the way and invite the free flow of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in this time, as we would open up the Scriptures, as we would spend some time looking at your Word. Father, we just pray, Lord, the free flow of your Spirit in this place, Lord, and we leave every concern, every worry, every care outside, Lord God, and we just come before you, Father, and just invite you to have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so long Q&A last week, which was good. So this week we are actually starting a new series as such. It probably won't be a very long one, hopefully. Okay, so let's go Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke, little brother Luke. Okay. Okay. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. And when he called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Okay. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34 through 38. Okay. Nice to see you.
You too.
Okay. The thing that's interesting, and this is something about, there's a lot of interesting things, but when you start to look at Scripture and you start to look at, I mean, we've talked before about two kingdoms, right? Kingdom of light, kingdom of dark, the power of Satan and the world versus the power of God, and how you have basically, on a spiritual level, this dichotomy going on. So there are no governments in the world. They're all part and parcel of the same kingdom. There are no, I mean, as such, on a spiritual level, they're all different manifestations of the same evils. So when we start looking at this stuff, and when we went through our series on the world, when we talked about that one, we went through how just different ways that it's manifested. As we start talking about the religious system of the world, and we start talking about the political system of the world, and the economic system of the world, and so we just start going down the list of different ways, and it's all the world. So then you just start saying, whoa, wait a second, it's everywhere, and we're surrounded by it, and ultimately it comes down to this clash between light and dark, between the power of Satan and the power of God. Now the power of God trumps it all by far, but also within this too, God allows for the operation of the darkness and the kingdom of this world, because there's also a purpose that he's bearing out in everything that happens. There's also something else that's going on in this. Even in the exercise of man exercising free will, there's a glorification that comes of God out of this whole thing, out of the whole drama that we're living in, out of all the things that we're experiencing, out of all the difficulties that we go through. all of that, it's like in the end, there is there's more going on here than our lives, as we would think and see and know. And in fact, it's a bit of a trap to get wrapped up in our lives and in the thinking of, okay, you know, my life in this world, and how then do I now make everything work and fit. So when Jesus, now one thing that you start finding too is there's paradoxes. Like, okay, Jesus here says, whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it. What is, okay, open floor. What does that mean? If you're going to save your life, you're going to lose it.
Probably lose all the worldly things because you're getting closer to God.
Okay. What else? If you're going to, if Jesus, not, okay, now this is the Son of God, truth incarnate, absolute truth here walking among us. Because we go through these scriptures sometimes so quick, and he telling you, giving instruction, giving this is before the world came into existence, when the Word was spoken. He was the Word, he is the Word, the extension of the Father. And he says, anybody who will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. But okay, but the first part, whoever will save his life shall lose it.
He's actually talking about, you know, if you do worldly things and if you, you know, live for the world and try to save yourself economically and, you know, build up your castles kind of thing, you know, you'll lose him.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. See, what does the world, again, a little backtrack on another series, what does the world offer? And what does it extend out, and what do people take? See, the world promises you and offers you security in the system. It offers you position. It offers you the chance to rule over success. Success in the world, one way, shape, or form. But the chance really to save your life in the world. And see, right now, what's happening now around the world is a lot of people have sought to save their lives in the world. So they've given their spiritual allegiance, they're committed their free will and their hearts into the system of the world. And now what's starting to take place is all of their investment is starting to crumble. And you remember when Jesus talked about the house that's built on the rock versus the house that's built on the sand? And when, so many, but this is a spiritual thing. Many people have built their house on the sand. And now the promised storm, the day of the Lord, is coming. And as it approaches and things begin to escalate, and all of these things start to ramp up, what you will see is many, many people's houses will fall. Many, many people's foundations will crumble because they have no foundation. They were so quick to save their life in the world, and now they have no spiritual substance. They have no life. No, again, remember what Jesus said in John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true living God, and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ. So that is life eternal, is to know him. So the question is, do you know him? And in that knowledge of him, are you walking in that relationship with him? Because a lot of people talk about what they think they know about God based on what they heard from somebody else that they respect as an authority. So I went to a building. I don't call them churches anymore. I call them buildings. I went to a building recently. No, the church is us.
Yeah.
You are the church. And we established that scripturally. We are the church. So now if it happens to meet in a place that you have a building around you, great. But that's not the church. Because the church, Christ said, I will build my church. And his church is built on the foundation of who he is. Thou art the Christ, the living God. That's not a physical place. So again, another satanic distortion. So I went to a building recently, and I was listening to the, and the guy speaking, it was all stories about what somebody else, you know, somebody else's stories. References here, references there, someone else's, you know, and the question at the end is, what has, are you living and moving and having a personal relationship with God? What is God showing you? What is coming out of your relationship with Him? If I just talk to Audrey, I have a relationship with Audrey. You know, we had, you know, we have a exchange. We have, there's something that's coming out of there. There's questions that are coming out. You grow in a relationship with a person. If I talk to Tanya, it's like if I talk to Deepak, it's like there is, you have a relationship with somebody. Now, when you walk through life with the Father, you have a relationship with Him. And when you walk in that relationship, a lot of stuff happens. And out of that, so in this process of a relationship and a walk with God, one thing that Jesus talks about is, He says, look, you're going to save your life in this world, you're going to lose it. Whoever wants to try to do this, you're going to lose. So the goal being, okay, I want to save my life. So I will do what seems logical. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end is the way of death, that leads to death. So I will do what seems right to me to save my life, and the byproduct of that is you actually lose it, because it's a trick, it's a setup, it's what this world has been designed and programmed to do for thousands and thousands of years. This whole system is in place to snare you and anybody else that falls for the same bait, which is, here, save your life in this world, give your allegiance and your soul in this direction, and now we got you. And most people, if they wake up, maybe, chances are, if they ever see it, they might see it somewhere, you know, way late in life, and they start saying, well, what was my life about? But see, the Father will wake up at his time. So, but the key for us is when He shows you, you just turn to Him with your whole heart, let him walk that out in you, let Him walk that out through you. He's the one that does the work anyways. He's the one that gets you out of a bad situation. He's the one that opens your eyes to see. He's the one that gives all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So you start realizing your complete and total dependence on Him to even begin to rectify the situation that you find yourself in. But the problem. But the reality of it is that if you seek to find to save your life in this world, you lose it. If you lose your life for, it says, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Okay. So to lose your life for Him, what does that mean?
Give up all
worldly
things
and stuff,
following
Him
and sacrificing.
For sacrificing to who? And sacrificing how?
Worldly things. I mean, you let go of perceptions and basically worldly things, like what other people have told you, or things like that. You've follow Jesus because you've discovered Him for yourself.
Yeah. It's ultimately this. He's in charge, and you follow Him wherever that goes. And if that be to wherever, it doesn't matter, because He's the one calling the shots. And so there's also, on a spiritual level, there is this forsaking of everything. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that you will lose everything. It just means that if that come what may, fine, sure. And He will test that, because, again, He knows all. So He knows where your heart's at. He knows where the core of you is. And if necessary, like the rich young ruler, when, if you want to dig a little bit deeper, He would be like, okay, this is one place where you don't trust me. And so because of that, I'm going to test you in that, and let's see if you trust me. And ultimately, when he exposed that man's heart, he went away sad because he saw a reflection of himself. Now, had he gone with the instruction that Christ gave him, which for him was to go sell, basically get rid of the block, go sell what you got, give it to the poor, come follow me. That was his instruction to him because that's what he needed to hear. And basically, this is your block. Yeah, you've done all the commandments, you're living under the law, which was during that dispensation what people were operating with. You're doing all of that stuff. Great, fantastic. All right. And he still knows he's lacking something. He's like, you know, what do I lack? And he's like, all right, you know, you really want to do this. Fine, let's dig a little bit deeper. Here you go. You know, this is... And then the revelation of his own heart, he went away sad. Why? Because, again, he had put that... He's saving his life in the world. Had he followed him, he would have known what, one, true riches were, and then also what true life is. But the problem there was that the trust wasn't there. He didn't trust God in the same measure as he trusted what he had stored up for himself. Okay, reality check. Every one of us dies. We all die. You know, every one of us is in the world for a season of time, short period of time. I have people that I've cared about and loved very much that aren't here anymore. I have people that I love very much that are here right now that will die before I do. And then one day, my life in this world will cease to exist in this place. But that's not the end. And the illusion of the world, and that's one of these things that doesn't make sense to me. When you start seeing it, you're like, okay, you're all going to die. Why then do you spend your life like you're not?
You don't live life in the eternal perspective.
Yeah, there is no, it's like, there is no thought for what's really going on. And I think that's part of also the blindness that people have in this world in being locked into the system. But past that, I mean, just if somebody stops, and that's why I think people surround themselves with so many distractions so that they don't have to stop and ask those questions. That's why they're always high every time you see them. That's why they're always drunk every time you see them. That's why they're always, you know, got something else going and just buzzing like a buzzsaw. I mean, all the time they got something moving to keep them from... Because if they ever stop... That's why I think people hate hospitals and, you know, and funeral halls and anything that gives them a glimpse of their own mortality. It's not that they even care as much about the person that's in there. It's because all of a sudden they have to deal with the fact that, well, wait a second, that could be me in there. So, I mean, Solomon said it's better to be in a house of mourning than in a house of feasting. Mm-hmm. You know, you get perspective there. You know, Lord, help me to number my days. So you have an idea of that. But then if you can come to that reality and say, okay, fine, good. You know, one time I sat down and I just said, okay, let's guess that I live 85 years old. You know, and then I sat down and I just punched it into a calculator. I said, okay, how many days is that? It's not that many days. It really isn't. You know? And then you figure, okay, how many have you lived since then too? And then you subtract that off there. You're like, it's going pretty fast. So it's not, you don't live that long. And our time here though, you either are part of the kingdom of darkness or part of the kingdom of light. You're either walking in spirit and in truth or you're walking in carnality and the lie. So it's the paradox, it's the flip. But when Jesus begins to speak here, he's also talking to, beginning to say, look, there is the need to for our thinking and our minds to be changed, our minds to be reformed. We have to start seeing things from his perspective. And one of the things about it is, look, you save your life in this world, you lose it. So many people that I know are seeking to save their life in this world, and they've lost it, and they're losing it. And every day that goes by is a day wasted. You know, it's a day wasted, it's a day squandered of a limited amount of time that you have here. Whereas when somebody crosses into eternity, because God is I Am, when you cross into eternity, time doesn't exist anymore. Because God is I Am, and you can keep and live in an eternal connection right now that doesn't stop. See, again, part of the deception is to get you either focused on your past or get you so wrapped up in what the future might hold that you never are right here, right now. Now, God is I Am. So when they asked, when Moses said, "Who shall I say sent me?" He's like, "Well, say, I Am. I Am. That's who I am. I'm right now." And so, to know him, do you know him now? This is eternal life, that they know God. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? If you know him, you know him now. And if you know him and you walk in connection with him, then you are walking in eternity now. So, okay. When somebody opens up their heart to him, when that connection is established with him, you cross into life. And when you cross into that, then you walk it out. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So he's a way. He's a way that we walk. He's a way that we live. Now, flip to Matthew 7:13. Matthew 7:13. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Okay. Again, kingdom of light, kingdom of darkness. Majority, minority. Many, few. So one thing to grasp here, just on a practical level, on a logical level, is you will always be in the minority. For your entire existence in the earth, you will be in the minority. Even when it talks in scriptures about this gospel shall be preached as a witness to all nations. Not so that the whole world will be saved, but that there's a witness that's preached, that everybody, you know, they've heard that truth, that gospel, this good news, that they've heard that, and they choose and turn away from it, but they've been given that opportunity. So there is that witness that goes forth, that has gone forth, that is going forth into the whole earth. But followers of Christ, guaranteed you're in the minority. So the majority is not following him. And the majority in the conformed religious systems of the world are not following him either. And that'll become more and more apparent as eternity comes to bear on the temple or reality we're living in right now. You will start to see more and more this, they'll begin to manifest, because you know what's, and it's like the Titanic, you know, where there's like when everything starts to fall apart, how all of a sudden everybody's all their mannerisms and chivalry and all that stuff just kind of went out the window. It's like, basically it's like, I'm going to save my life, and I don't care if these kids have to die for me to get on a boat. And it's because, you know, it starts to adversity reveals character. And so as things start to get rough, what you're going to start seeing is who people really are becoming manifest all over the world. So, but it also gives certain people just the chance to shine and be seen for who they are, which is true followers of Christ. But you will be in the minority. So that, as a given, you know, rejoice, praise God. And when you find a brother or sister in Christ that loves him and that walks with him, enjoy the company that you have. Allow God to use you in their life the way that he would allow for it. Bless each other in the name of the Lord. And just, you know, he'll bring you together even on certain assignments for certain things. Great, cool. And then keep walking with the Father. Because he'll right now too, he's sending his people all over the place. And they're involved with all kinds of amazing things. Those that are connected to the head. Those that aren't are stuck in conformity and trying to be good church people. And, okay. Alright, flip to Luke 17. Okay. And I'm going to keep my finger on Matthew 7. But Luke 17, verse 21 said, I'll start last part of verse 20. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, so it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's a spiritual kingdom that's within. Remember,
strange, I was reading this last night.
Not strange. It's not strange. It's the same. It's the same. Yeah. It's the same.
There's no coincidence. There's God.
You know what's? Oh wait. People listen to our audios online 4 months after the fact, and the Spirit of God, when it's in something, it'll be right there, and he'll speak to them where they're at, and they'll write, and they'll just be like, oh my gosh, you know, because why? Not nothing to do with us. It's because the Spirit of God ministers to the body. People in the body of Christ minister to me all the time. Because the body of Christ, just like in your own physical body, your body ministers to itself. Your lungs take in air and breathe and provide that oxygen to other organs in the body that do certain things to help keep the lungs healthy, to the heart that pumps the blood through everything, to the skin that protects all the internal organs. As each part of the body does something that blesses and builds up and encourages another part of the body. That's why too, it's so important that we allow the Spirit of God, it's not you, you don't do it, the Spirit of God to do what he is doing through you, because it'll minister and be part of what God is doing in the entire body of Christ globally. So you wonder, okay, how does that work, me here in Sri Lanka going to whatever it is that you're involved with right now? No, it ministers globally to the body of Christ. So very cool. So yes, no coincidences. We always just do enjoy, you know, I like it because it's just continuously a confirmation and an encouragement, because it's just like, yeah, we're walking in step, we're cool, we're all right. Not that I need that, but I really like that. Okay, Luke 17, verse 21 is okay. So the kingdom is within you. So again, remember Revelations 3:20, where Jesus is talking about to the church, he's like, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, all right. So with that church, his desire was to go in, but if any man here, Jesus is not allowed in to that place, the man has to come out to be with him. Because what they had chosen and put in place there, but where does Jesus have to be received? He is received in the core of who you are. Not in a physical place. Jesus is not confined to a physical place, but the Spirit of God chooses to reside inside the body and soul of the believer. Your body is the temple of the living God. So nowadays, there is no temple made by human hands in which the Spirit of God lives. God lives inside of the soul, the body, the spirit. He's fused in us, and we're fused in Him.
The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, so He's not going to force entry.
Well, He definitely, the free will is definitely involved. But also I think too about Him knocking Paul to the ground and blinding him as well.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, would you mind if I just knock you to the ground? It's like, I mean, there's that aspect.
No,
I know.
But like the world, you can let the world take over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's the free will is involved. In all of this stuff, the free will is involved. And so, but the kingdom is within. So it's an individual connection with the Spirit of God. It's an individual relationship that we have with the Spirit of God. It's you each, okay, again, see, God gave you a body so that you could walk around with a living 24/7 example of what His kingdom is like and of even of Him. So your head is continuously sending messages to every part of your body, instructing it in what it should do and how it should do it. And you're not conscious of it as such all the time because it's doing so many things without you even thinking it. So you don't have to tell your heart, you know, I want you to beat, 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 if you can't fall asleep, because if you fall asleep, you'll die. I mean, it's like, there's a lot of things that are, but the head is doing all of that at any given time. So the kingdom is within, and we, walking with the Spirit of God, when you walk with the Spirit of God, there's this connection that you have with Him where He individually instructs you, and this is the way you should go. This is your path. This is your track. This is what I have for you. And you have to have that with Him, because otherwise, if you seek to receive it from somebody else, they can't do it for you. And that's why, too, you find life, if you lose your life in this world, and you do it unto Christ, and you allow Him to take you to that point where you die to yourself, and you die to what it is that you hope to be in this world, to every ambition, every dream, everything that you might be in this place, you find life, and then you find this activation of who you really are, who you really were meant to be, what it is that God designed and destined for you to be. Then that activation is like, gosh, this is, well, okay, one, fulfilling, you know, exciting. The true walk in spirit is never dull. The true walk in spirit is never boring. I mean, some people have gotten closer to me than others in just getting to see kind of how things even happen around life and just in the walk. But He's always active. He's always involved. And if you can see past your own desire to the things that God has, it's like all of a sudden you start... He's in control. He's in control. He has His plan and purpose in mind with you. And there's a fulfillment. There's peace. There is joy in the Holy Spirit in that. And He builds a depth of character in you. The wise man digs deep. The Spirit of God will in you dig deep and dig a foundation in you that no matter what the storm that life throws, you will be able to weather it and come out shining on the other side. Whereas somebody right next to you will fall apart and crumble. So, okay. It's a practical thing. Now, when God takes you, when God leads you, He leads you on this path. So, Jesus is the way. So, He leads you in the way. And that way also leads you to your own death. So it's a death to... I remember for myself, you know, really where it happened. I knew God, and I did love Him, but there was also a lot of stuff that's like, yeah, I love you, God, but... You know, I and it was... And what He did with me was perpetually, like that rich young ruler, just saying, okay, if you want to keep following me, here you go. Here's this thing. Or whatever it is. And whatever it is, whatever it was, I have a choice that I can make at that point. Which is, do I hold on to this and, like that rich young ruler, turn away sad and go back? Or do I trust Him that He knows what He's doing, And like the disciples, they're like, where else? Because for me, it's like, where else do I got to go? You got the words of eternal life. I mean, when you know that's what you have, and you know that's what He has for you, you realize there is nothing else. And so it's above all, He is really truly Lord. Above all, you will follow Him. Because in that process, that's that's life. And you find life. John 10. Okay. And verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Okay. So, in following the voice of Jesus, he also leads you to your death. Because Jesus said, look, if you're going to die, because back to, here's Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 8. Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 8 says, alright, for whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Alright, so here it is. Here's his voice. What's he saying? He's saying, so he's leading his sheep to the loss of their own life, to their death. When you, if you take up your cross to follow him, you're literally on your way to die. And so what he does is he brings you to a place where, above all, no matter what, you want him. And you will hold on to him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Even as Christ willingly and freely gave his life up for us, died on a cross, took on the most horrible thing that they, punishment they could possibly come up with, and every abuse and every form of shame and torture and anything that they could heap on him, took it all upon himself. He, in the follower of him, by the working of his spirit, not something we do, again, see, this is not you doing it. It's his spirit living in you that does this as you yield to him. But he now brings you to a place where that takes place in you. The consummation of the Spirit of God in you, that new life experience, is that he that grows up, that child of God grows up in you, strong to the place where now you walk out life like him. You reflect Christ in the world. And so just like the early apostles, they all died. Literally, physically. Died for their walk and their connection with him. Purely because they followed Christ. So God brought them by his Spirit to that place. They also lived the most amazing dynamic lives while they were here. Versus how many people sat around and, you know, tried to save their life in this world and they've been forgotten. Not that I have no desire to be remembered by this world. I have, that does not matter to me. But it's amazing that the things that you don't want, you end up receiving. I mean, it's like, and yet the things that these guys want so bad, they want to make a name for themselves and all that, and they're forgotten. How many great men in the history, in antiquity, in the past, their names have been erased? I've got to ask, because I don't know. But I know that there's been a lot of people that have come and gone. But those that walk with the Father have walked in eternity, walk in spirit. There's an eternal record. They've not been discarded. Okay, so practical example of this. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Actually, you know what? All right. You know what I want to do real quick? Before I go to Daniel chapter 3, I want to overlap this with something else. One thing that you have to learn, and this is part of your walk with the Father, is to allow the Spirit of God to quicken you to be able to lead and trust His way that He speaks to you, and not in the instruction of man. This is the only reason why. I mean, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ Jesus. He didn't say follow me. He said, I'm going in this direction. I'm following Christ with all of my heart. As long as I'm going that way, okay, sure, follow me. But if I get off that track, if I stop following the Father, if I stop following Christ Jesus, quit following me. You keep going with Him. As I follow Him, it's okay. You know, because two can walk together because they're agreed. Amos 3:3. We're going in the same direction. But if we're not in agreement and I'm the one getting off track, please keep going with Jesus. That's why the same thing with me. It's like as long as we have some agreement, if I'm following Christ with all of my heart. But if I'm not, there's no place of agreement with that. So don't follow me. I do not want to follow him. Let's establish that. Okay, before we go to Daniel 3, all I want is to follow Christ. And if it happens that there's some people that I'm walking this journey out with, great, praise God. Because we're all part of the body of Christ and we minister one unto another. Romans chapter 13, I want to show you something. Give you an example of how people are twisted and turned and led astray. Okay. Romans chapter 13. Okay. Anytime when we start, the scripture has to be taken, one, in the context of the entire Word of God and the Spirit of God that leads and guides you into all truth. Okay. Okay, for example, Romans 13. Let's do this. Verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, according, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Okay, we'll stop there. With that, okay, so let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. All right, and this is a classic scripture used in the satanic system church for whatever it is that they say in government, now you're supposed to do. Right? Because, right, it says it right there in the Bible. Whoever, whatever it is that the authorities of the land tell you to do, you know, now you're supposed to do. So in the States, for example, right now, you have a lot of these places that back a satanic war, that back where you have you have false leadership telling people, you know, this is what God is doing and this is where we okay, because there is no, Hitler used this scripture to push the execution of the Jews. Because, hey, he was the one, you know, it's like, this is something that, it's something the state's doing, and, you know, it's right there in the Bible, and, okay, keep this in mind. Now flip to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Good old Danny. Love Danny. Cool guy. Daniel chapter 3. Okay, so do everything that the rulers and authorities say, right? Okay, that's right. Yeah, okay, sure. So let's check it. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king set to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, and judges, and treasurers, and counselors, and sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Okay, if you're going to save your life in this world, you lose it, right? All right, everybody, here you go. Save your life. All right, otherwise, because you're going to lose it if you don't do this. You're going to get thrown into fire furnace. Okay, verse 8. "Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." What do you mean? Do you mean these guys broke Romans 13? These guys broke Romans 13, right? Because there's no authority set up that God didn't set up, right? There's no nothing that's that they, so they should be submitting to this.
You know, they came before Romans 13. That's
there's you and your biblical humor. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. The process here, what you start seeing is, I'll jump ahead a little bit, but look and see how this bears out. As long as you are, because if that which is in place honors the Lord, yeah, you can submit to it. If that which is in place is in step with what the Spirit of God is doing, yeah, you can. But there is a point where, because these guys were rulers set up by the king, chosen by him. At 16, Daniel went into being trained along with these guys to be advisors and counselors and set up in the... So they were given authority, they had authority, and yet they were under the authority of the king as well. They were exercising this in a pagan land, in a pagan nation, and there was no accusation that they could find to bear against these guys that fell true. But here's where the rub meets the road, in verse 13. "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. This is where the line is drawn. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. This is where Romans 13, the line is drawn. This is where now, within Scripture, within the context of the Spirit of God and what He instructs His people to do, here is, thou shalt serve the Lord your God and Him only. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is a line that's drawn with the people of God where, no. There is a no that comes forward. And any person that ministers the Word of God that's worth his salt lives that and knows that. And if they aren't, if they're part of the satanic world system, they do what every other one of these guys did, which is, hey, when you hear the sound, drop down. If you're about to lose your tax-exempt status in the States, you know about the 501c3 status. You can't say certain things and have a tax exemption in America. So there are certain things that Jesus said, that John the Baptist said, that they are not allowed to say and keep their tax exemption. So every one of them is compromised. Okay, well, so, but again, who wants truth? So, in the end, alright, so here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here's the dividing line. Yeah, we're in a foreign country. Yeah, we're in a pagan nation. Yeah, we're surrounded by idolatry. But God is with us in this place. We serve Him with all of our heart. As much as it isn't up to us, we try to live at peace with people. As much as it is up to us, with the work that we put our hands to, that God allows us to do, we seek to do diligence to it, to use every gift, talent, and skill that He's put in us for those purposes, whenever there's that made. But there is a dividing line. We have a spiritual allegiance to the King of Kings. We have a spiritual allegiance to Christ Jesus. We will not bow our knee before anybody else. We will not serve anybody else. And even if we are in the world, we're not of it. So with this, what happens then is now that's tested. Again, the it's the broad road. The majority will always go this way. It's the minority. In this case, it's three. It's three. How many people on Noah's Ark? Got Noah and wife and three sons and three wives. You got eight. Whole world was destroyed then. So sometimes it's not that many, but it doesn't matter. God's into quality. He's into quality. The world is into quantity. God would much rather have a quality bride than a big bride. So, okay, let you think about that. Take that however it is that you want to. Okay, verse 19. Oh, actually, let me jump back to verse 18. But if not, see, here's the thing too. These guys, they said, even if God doesn't, on a spiritual level, we know where we are. On a spiritual level, it doesn't matter whether we're here or not, because we're in His hand. Remember, nothing in this world, whether height nor depth, angel, principality, power of darkness, anything like that, can separate you from the love of God. None of it can separate you. You can choose to walk away from it. like the prodigal son. You can choose that. But if you choose to turn, repentance is turning to Him and walking in that direction, holding on to Him with everything that you are. Just move in that direction and the Spirit of God will meet you, just like the Father. He met the Son when He just was making that, walking that way towards Him. He will meet you there. And when He meets you, just keep going with Him in that. But when He does that, know that nothing else can separate you from that. You can walk away from it, but He won't walk away from you. So here it is. They said, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." There you go. We don't have to be careful about answering you with this. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, verse 19, and the form of his vestige was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery, in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Okay, seems like it's a finished story. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men." Yeah, what's he going to say? No, he just threw a bunch of guys in the fire furnace. And these guys are all worlders. They've sold their souls. Verse 25, he said, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Okay. So the story didn't end in verse 23. But see, for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, back in verse 18, "But if not," even if the story ended in verse 23, that didn't matter. Their hearts and their lives and their souls were in connection and walking with the Spirit of God. And when the fire came, the fire revealed that they were walking with Him. The fire revealed that Christ was with them all that time. And they didn't walk away from Him. So He was in the fire with them. And you'll find that God will be in the fire with you in life. No matter what the situation is. You know, another thing that's funny, the people that are sent there as the ministers of, or the henchmen of the devil, you know, and these guys die in the process of trying to carry out, you know, and these are the mightiest they got, the best ones that they got. They die in the process of trying to carry out the satanic agenda. And that happens around God's people. There's a huge body count around the true servants of God for those that would come against them. See, here's the thing. When you walk with the Spirit of God, nothing will happen until God's timing for you to leave this earth is complete. God keeps, watches, protects, and it doesn't work how you will think. See, if you walk with the Spirit of God, He will keep you to the very end, and when the time comes for you to leave, you will walk, you'll know, and you'll walk out with the Spirit of God in God's timing. Just like with Jesus when He said, look, you know, I choose to lay my life down. I lay it down. The Father's given me this authority. I lay it down and I take it up again. And with the believer, we lay down our lives freely unto God's plan and purpose. He leads and directs and guides us. But you are by this world. This world has no hold on you. The world only has a hold on those who have bowed their knee before it. That's why they went nuts when these guys said, we're not bowing. Because they chose not to, of their free will, give their allegiance and their heart to the system. They chose to follow the way and so be walking out of it. And they said, oh, you really want that? Okay, well, it's going to cost you your life. They're like, it's okay. We've already lost our lives in this world. They were not trying to hold on to their positions as governors in the province of Babylon or anything that had already been given. There was nothing in this world they were trying to hold on to. They were not trying to hold on to and protect a family or other loved ones. Or, you see what I'm saying? There was nothing about that. When it came down to it, if you follow Him, you will walk this thing out in the crunch, and you will trust God to handle everything else around that. So they didn't have to fix the problem. They didn't have to make an apology for this. They didn't have to try to sugarcoat it and say, well, God, you understand. You see what I'm saying? They didn't have to say, they didn't have to, God, no, this is where He was at. And see, it takes people that will have the courage of their convictions, courage of knowing this is the voice of the Spirit of God and walking that out, walking on the way. There's a call for holiness, so you can hear His voice. Walking that thing out is so that you don't call for, you know, okay, even with this thing with holiness, it's not, here's this list of do's and don'ts. It's God calls you to that for a purpose. So be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. Be ye holy. I mean, it's like there's a call for it because of the fact that if you love Him with all of your heart and you walk in that, not a list of do's and don'ts, but just a something where you allow God to instruct you in how to keep the connection clean so that you're in this continuous, uninterrupted flow with the Spirit of God, where whatever He says, you're in tune, and then He's flowing through you into the lives of other people. But with this situation, it's put to the test, and ultimately what ends up being seen is, here is God with His people. God has control over the situation. He has control over the situations in your own life. And so, but this is also a painful case for many people that are on the satanic system, because it shows, look, here too, there is a dividing line. And they all see it. All these guys gather around these guys when everything's said and done, and they walk out of the fire in their own good time, because the king can't go in to get them. Nobody else can go in to get them. There's a point of limitation for all of them. There's a point where they can't reach past. I mean, if they want, you want to go in there and try to get these guys out. It's like they have to request And that's kind of cool too. I mean, even like, yeah. I mean, like Paul, you know, when they got thrown in jail in Acts 16, you know, it's like, and then the earthquake comes and all of that stuff, they didn't leave, you know. And then even with that, then afterwards these guys are like, you know, okay, you can go. And he's like, no, you guys come escort us out. I mean, it's like there's a point where the world, God will turn the situation around in your favor. He will turn the situation around according to His will, according to His plan and purpose, and it'll turn around in your favor. And the very ones that, like the jailer, the very ones that ripped open your back are the ones cleaning your wounds in the middle of the night. The very ones that were reporting on you, trying to get you killed, will be gathered around astonished at what happened. And the very king that is so ticked off at you will testify to the glory of God when he sees what happens, and God does that in and through your life. That's why too, it's like you know, just trust him to do what he does, and just allow him to give you the words to speak in different situations. Because the very person that you want to cuss out right now, maybe the very person that God turns around tomorrow and is like in Acts 16, you, one of your brothers or your sisters in Christ. So guard your words a little bit, you know, because you will see. I mean, imagine how many people cursed out Paul before while he was still known as Saul. Yeah, but that was God's chosen vessel. I got some friends in school, they were terrors, and then all of a sudden God got a hold of their lives, and they're amazing brothers in Christ. Just like, I mean, if you met them now, you'd be like, oh wow, what a great guy, he's just so, he loves Jesus. If you knew him 5 years ago, you know. But the thing too is, it's not that person. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He makes the difference. He makes the change. It's not us anymore. It's Him. And what He does is He takes you to a point where you die to this world, and you die to yourself, and you come alive in Him. That's what the whole thing about what baptism is. It's just a representation that you have died with Christ. You're dead to this world, and you're dead to everything in this world, and you have been raised to a new life, a new spiritual life in Him, in Jesus' name. It's a new life. So it's a full life. And see, here's another thing too. Again, when Jesus, back to the original scripture we started with, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Taking up your cross is not going without chocolates for 40 days of Lent. It's what it is. Ultimately, dying to yourself is not this, whatever people have contorted it to mean. It basically means, okay Lord, your way, not mine, every day. That's it. Your kingdom come, your will be done, every day. Because that's what Jesus practiced. His entire life, he got ready for the big one. And ultimately, when he got ready for that, it was still a struggle. But he went through it. So God will bring you to that point as well. If you trust him, if you follow him, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He will bring you to the end of yourself. You will die to yourself. You'll die to this world. And you will be found alive in Him. And then there's an amazing joy. There's an amazing fulfillment. Because now you find out what life really is. And when you, and like Peter, Peter realized his own limitation. Great. Take it to the Father. When you find something, when he shows you something, you're like, this is, God, I can't do this. I'm stuck. I keep hitting this wall. Just put it before him. Let him bring you to the end of yourself. And when he do that, what happens is now you leave the space for Him to take over. So we serve an amazing Father, we serve an amazing Lord, and in this walk with Him, if you will allow Him to, He does the work, not you. And time for tonight ran out, so we'll stop there. And the fears you hide.